Walk down most any busy street in the Middle East and you'll see young people, lots of them. In fact, two-thirds of the people in the region are under the age of 30. It's a youth bulge that points to the possibility of dramatic change. Many of these young people are educated, yet jobs are scarce. And in an era of new forms of communication, the young are much more aware than their parents of the world beyond their borders. We began an occasional series on youth in the Middle East in Cairo, where social media like Facebook and Twitter are the new tools of protest for a struggling generation. Here's NPR's Deborah Amos.
It is a sweltering summer day, and this Cairo courtroom is packed with lawyers and observers. The standing crowd strains to hear the judge in a case against three human rights activists. They're charged with defaming a government official on the internet, a serious offense. It's an important case for Egypt's Facebook generation, says 22-year-old blogger Mahmoud Sabri.
Definitely the government trying all of the way to shut down the blogosphere and the actions and everything we are doing.
Everything they're doing is on display inside the courtroom, where bloggers turn this private trial into a public event.
We were tweeting, actually, trying to tell the people what's going on inside the court.
And so you tweeted the whole trial?
Yeah.
Wael Abbas tapped out every detail on his phone, including this observation about the judge.
And the judge himself said that, "I don't understand the internet. I never use the internet. And how can you be a judge in a case that you don't understand anything about?"
The internet is well understood by many here. It's the office of the Egyptian Initiative for Personal Rights. And Rami Raouf demonstrates what's on his computer.
Tweets, we have millions of tweets going day by day.
So on your photo stream, what do you have?
I always send live pictures from any demonstrations, pictures and videos, that's it.
Media activists also post names of police officers accused of beating demonstrators or torturing prisoners, says Rove. He uses new technologies to turn a cell phone into a device that can stream live video directly onto the web.
Once we go live broadcasting, the cell phone turns to red light. So the police officers around us come to us and ask us, "What are you doing? Excuse me."
So this is a cat and mouse game.
The Ministry of Interior, they are not stupid. They are very smart people. So they know about Twitter, about Facebook, about, as we are improving ourselves online, they're also doing the same.
This is a new challenge to state authority, says Professor Saad Sadek, who monitors the social media movement and the generation behind it.
They see the future bleak. They don't know about the job, marriage, housing. They see torture. They see corruption. What can they do? Of course, the only tool in their hands is, you know, the fingertips and the keyboard. And they use that as a tool for, you know, raising awareness.
This awareness has forced the government to take some action, says Sadek. Bloggers have documented cases of police torture, sexual harassment, and government corruption, stories that are picked up by popular satellite stations and then the print press.
So those people are really revolutionary. They are breaking from this malfunctioning system and trying to do something different. If you go to the presidential site of the president of Egypt, it is still under construction. The presidency is under construction, and that shows you.
Egypt's social media movement is the oldest and the largest in the Arab world, a model in a region where young people are the majority, and new technologies from smartphones to internet cafes are available almost everywhere. But like Iran's green movement and its widespread web campaign, Egyptian bloggers haven't been able to deliver much in the way of lasting change. Mark Lynch is the director of the Institute of Middle East Studies at George Washington University, and he follows these movements.
That first generation of bloggers and of activists have been deeply frustrated. Many of these people thought that there was a chance for change, and they found out that they were wrong.
One member of that generation is Wael Abbas. On this day, at his apartment, the lights are off, and he's watching an Arabic translation of the cartoon SpongeBob SquarePants. His favorite, he says, because SpongeBob is an ordinary guy who does good things. At 34, Abbas is one of the oldest bloggers. He says he tried to do good things, but is now pessimistic about the movement.
And I don't want people to be disillusioned. I know my limits. I know the limits of social media. And I know what we can win and what we can lose.
He knows because he's been arrested more than once for his online journalism. At first, the Mubarak government ignored the bloggers. Now there's increased government surveillance of activists and websites, says Abbas.
They are getting smarter and they are getting tougher and stronger, and the international pressure on them is not as it used to be in the past. Nobody gives a damn about what's going on in Egypt. Mubarak is a friend, and he's allowing McDonald's and Hardee's and Pizza Hut. To the hell with the Egyptian people. If they want democracy, we don't care.
Here on the streets of a working-class neighborhood, a new group of activists collects signatures. They're handing out a petition calling for an end to rigged elections in Egypt. There is corruption everywhere, says Ahmed Nasser, a young lawyer. We have to do something now.
I don't want for my generation to be like the one before, because they are responsible for what we are in now. I'm from this generation, new one, and I want it to be different. That's why I'm working on that.
Nasser is part of the April 6th movement. It started as a Facebook group that supported striking laborers. Then, April 6th moved from computer screen protest to actions on the street.
Mustafa Abbas Khalil.
Nasser hands a petition to passerby Mustafa Abbas Khalil. He reads the demands and he agrees to sign. He includes his ID number and his full name.
Do you think that these young people are brave to be doing what they're doing?
Yes.
And does he think these young people can bring change to Egypt? Yes, he says. God willing.
Inshallah, inshallah.
He trusts us. We are his children.
Deborah Amos, NPR News.
Deborah's report is a collaboration with America Abroad. That's a monthly public radio program about international affairs.